appreciate your prayers. The Lord's given me a little thought to work with. I'd like to think about God's way. Scripture tells us that His way is higher than our ways. Well, it don't have to be very high to get there. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. When I deal with the people around me and the relationships that I have, there arises sometimes conflicts in the opinion of what way we ought to do or what way we ought to go. Sometimes my wife may want to go one place and I may want to go another. And I may contend a little bit for my way in that. She may say I contend a lot in it, but we have difference of opinions, and I may think that I have a valid reason for my way. But I want us to know today that we have no right to contend with God in His ways. God created the universe. Everything that's created, He created it. He created me and He created you. He created everything we work with and every strength that we have, the oxygen we breathe, the food that we eat, the water we drink that keeps us alive. God made it. We have no right to contend with Him about His ways. He has every right to insist upon His way. He could, He doesn't, but He could insist upon it with us. He allows us to go against His way, but we'll never profit that way. God's way is best. Heart sees us struggling to see and know and understand. God's way is best. It's always best. And if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to submit our way to God's way and what God said. I don't pretend to know all God's way, never will, I suppose. But it's our duty to pursue God, to find out what God's way is, because that's the way we should go. And I'll have my way. The Scripture says that man's way is right in his own eyes. That is a truth. That goes for women too. That is a truth. So, and if that is true, then it's my duty to make sure that God's way is my way. Because every man's way is right in his own eyes. And so I'm going to have to make sure that the way I go is God's way. It is true, I will only go the way that I think's best. But it's going to have to be God's way. I want to look at a scripture starting off in John, 4th chapter of John. Oh, let's see. Oh, maybe I'll pick it up a little bit back. The 5th verse. Says, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman unto Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither cometh hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now has is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ever since the fall of man, mankind in one way or another worships. Even people that say that they're atheists, if you go very far into them, you find out they have a way of worship. Maybe not the God that they mention, but they still have a belief in a way. Men have endeavored to worship. And people that had knowledge of the true God had a sense of worship. But almost always, and you can follow this without me taking time to prove it, I believe I could, and I believe you can find it if you're willing to, that almost always they had this problem of instilling some of their human belief into the worship service, into the worship of God. They never had a true sense of worship. They always was seemed like, I think it comes down to humanity today too, to be honest with you. I'm willing to serve God. I'm willing to do some of this. I'm willing to be religious. I'm willing to serve God as long as I can do it my way. You don't have a right to do it your way. This is the God that created you. You don't have a right to tell Him, you're going to accept me for who I am. You're going to accept my way of doing this, or I won't do it. That's not a good plan. And it followed all the way down, and that's why there is such a large amount of confusion about religious things. It's because men have always endeavored to put something of themselves into it. One scripture in the Old Testament said that they feared the Lord, but they served their idols. That they had a sense that God was something to fear, that He could do something against them. But they went ahead and worshiped their own idols anyway. And over you'll see this sense of putting something into it. I'm willing to worship God. Saul was willing to obey the prophet and go down and take care of the Amalekites. But he had to insert his own idea into it. I have to insert the own idea that, no, I'm not going to destroy everything. I'm going to leave the king. Well, God said to destroy the king. Well, I know what He said. The prophet said, but it doesn't make sense to do it. I'm going to do it my way then. Well, he said to destroy all these fine animals. What great breeding stock. We can mix this in. We can have great breeding stock. God said to destroy it, and they said, no. I'm going to do it my way. We're going to add something to it. God comes along and isn't pleased with it at all. Cain made a sacrifice, but it wasn't acceptable. It didn't have into it what God was wanting out of it. But he made a sacrifice. In other words, he said, I'm going to make a sacrifice because, I mean, there is a God. I'll make a sacrifice, but I'm going to do it my way. The woman says to Jesus, I'm interested in this. You say in Jerusalem's the place. We say in the mountains the place. What is the truth? What am I to do? Do you know that true worship has one element in it? If you don't remember anything else today, remember this and remember it always. There's one element to true worship. Our whole worship has to do with one thing. It's about pleasing God. Our lives, if we're going to live them sincerely, it isn't about pleasing myself. It isn't about pleasing my family or some kind of a group. It's about pleasing God. That's what God wants out of us as individuals. God wants more than that. And He said, where is the place? And so He puts it down into a fine place. Yeah, we have this idea of over here is the place or over here is the place. God is God of the universe. And God is a spirit and He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Here's the way to do it, not where you're at, but how do you do it? How do you do it? Can you serve God in pretense? Can you serve God in your own way? Can you say, I'm going to do it my own way? Our duty is to find out what pleases Him and live for Him that way. I mean, I've said this before, but it's kind of like saying, well, I love my wife and it's her birthday, so I'm going to buy her a present. I'm going to buy her that 450 Husqvarna over there. I'm going to buy her that and I'm going to get her some files to sharpen it with. Well, that's real good, but I'm the only one that's going to be using it. That's the way we do God. I'm going to please God by making myself something. Doing something that'll do something for me. Rather than looking and saying, what is it that really pleases the Lord? You know, the Lord spent a whole volume of a book to help you and I know what He's about. And what He has, what His expectation is of us. I believe this woman was genuine. And God dealt, and Jesus dealt with her in a genuine way about this and brought it down to a real place to her. He said, it must go by Samaria. Why? Because there's a woman down there I need to meet. Well, she didn't seem like much to meet. Seemed like she was kind of on the lower side of life, if you will. You know, she said to Jesus, she said, why are you speaking to me? Basically, Jews have no dealings. Jesus has dealings with everybody. Jesus loves everybody, then what right do we have not to? What right do we have? Well, I'm saying this is God's way. This is God's way. I'm going to worship God as long as you all lift me up above. Where's that at? That's not God's way. That's not God's way. If Jesus is willing to deal with the worst people in society, then who are we not to? Lord help us, we don't have any right to. This isn't our way. We're serving God. What pleases the Lord? This pleases the Lord that we have this, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've gone away truth too easily. We ignore the spiritual side of things. This isn't about, folks listen, there's some things that's really good. It's a part of practical methods of our lives that we do in order to serve the Lord. The Lord set up that there was service on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. We're here today because of it. It's went down through history. The Lord set that up, not men. I believe that it pleases the Lord, as I look into the Scriptures, I believe that it pleases the Lord for His people to meet together on the first day of the week. I can draw that from the conclusion so I can say, in my pursuit of pleasing the Lord, I ain't making it up myself. I ain't doing it myself. The Lord instilled that. So I can say that pleases the Lord. I think we can give the Lord any time, but the Lord set that up. And so for me to please the Lord, I think that's important to do that. But you know, you can foul that 100 different ways. Lord wants more than just physical duty. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to follow Him, and He wants us to do it His way. As a matter of fact, that's the only way there is that works. Men have ideas. There was places in the Scriptures where the Lord said, I want you to build me an altar. And I want you to do it out of uncut stones. Don't hew them. Well, I've fooled with stones before. You don't find in nature a good square block, do you? Very rarely. I mean, you can get some slab stones and stuff to get something that you, like a block that you would build an altar out of, no. So man could come along and say, well, that ain't gonna make a very good altar. I'm gonna cut them and make them till they fit square, and we'll tighten them in, and when you get through looking at it, it's gonna be something to behold. God don't care what it looks like. He cares about what it's about. And He says, I want you to take 12, so I want you to make me an altar and make a sacrifice, and I don't want you to put your hands on my altar. I want it the way I want it, and I'm not gonna accept it if you don't do it that way. So just take the stones. I don't have to put my hands on it. Just make it the way God said to do it, and it'll be blessed. And down through the centuries, you can look at, I'm not saying it was of good will, but men have looked and said, to the honor of God, we'll build great cathedrals with the greatest architecture and the greatest artwork, and we'll get the great painters, Da Vinci and Angelo, to carve and to cut and to paint, and we'll make a glory to God. In your mind. In your mind, it's a glory to God. You can cheat on your wife and do that. You can lie to your neighbor and do that. You can have all kind of fallacy and hurt in your own life and do all those things. And we look, and still to this day, the Sistine Chapel and the great artworks, and you look at all that and you say, that's wonderful what man did. But what does God say? God looks at a little widow woman that comes up and puts her two mites. And He said, did you see that? Nobody saw it. Did you see that? I saw worship there. I saw devotion there. I saw a heart bigger than the big cathedrals and all the work that it done. I saw something real there. I saw God's way right there in that. We get it so wrong, and so many times, Lord help us in our pursuit that we don't make the mistake of getting my own intelligence and mind and wants and desires mixed up with God's true worship. Over in Matthew 5, Matthew 5, let's see where I want to get this. 20th verse. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty harsh. Not enter the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes we look at that scripture and we can kind of struggle with that idea, because it's kind of putting righteousness. We think about how useless we are. We think about righteous. We ought to be righteous in Christ. The scenario here is that the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, was the upper echelon of the Jewish religion. They were the hand-picked in their youth. They were the top of the academics. These were the smartest of the smartest that went into these. The scribes were noted for their extreme knowledge of Scripture. And the Pharisees were known for their application of that law to their lives. And they were the upper part, and when they was looked on by the Jewish people, they would have said, how can you possibly go higher than they went? That they're as high as you can get in our religion. They've went as far. Those scribes studied that endlessly. They studied it. They were taught by the best. They had it in them. They could sit and quote book after book after page. They could quote it. They knew it inside and out. And along comes Jesus and lays a charge on the people and said, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs. Well, how could you possibly exceed? The Pharisees, for all they were diligent. They really did fast a lot. They did pray a lot. They put out great efforts to teach the people the belief of the... They put out, how can you possibly exceed that would be the question. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees had major problems. They did it with such diligence. They did it with such perseverance. They did it with such sacrifice. And they did it their way. That ain't acceptable. They did it their way. They did it with their notions about it. They didn't do it God's way. Jesus comes along and says, Where the Pharisees, they gave the physical, they gave their works, they gave their things. Jesus came and said, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want you to mean what you're doing. I want you to have it in your heart. This is my way. I would rather you doing it with your heart and do all that your heart is than to do all this other stuff that your heart's not in. You can do it for a lot of different reasons. They gave diligently to the priests their tithes, but they didn't give diligently God their heart. They gave they gave their pride. The pride in what they was doing. And Jesus called for them. God called for them to be humble. And they did it in their pride. Yes, we are. We are superior to the others. Are you? That's not God's way. We, even in our time, in our day, in our own congregation, in our own personal heart, can say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go to services. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to serve God my way. I'm going to put in my life what I want to put in my life. I'm going to keep what I want to keep. I'm going to act the way I want to act. I'm going to hold on to the things I want to hold on to. Don't work. It's all about pleasing God. True worship is about pleasing God. And I want to tell you something about true worship. True worship can never take place collectively inside of a church building when it isn't being experienced individually in the greater world. When you and I aren't worshiping God from a true heart and out as we live life, there is no true worship when we get together. It will be the facade that we put up of our human life. God wants us to do it His way. And God's way is, God is God every moment. The dictates of our conscience in God, we respond to always. We respond to always. That means that I'm going to respond to the dictates of my conscience in Christ in the Walmart when I'm all by myself, or at least I say no church people's around. No eyes are on me that I care about, you may say, in the human. God's eyes is on me. It's about, true worship is about pleasing God. I endeavor to please you, Lord, with my life. With what, the words that I say, ought to be very careful. I'm not as careful as I ought to be. And I admit it. I ought to be careful, but I ought to be careful about the words that I say. To please God. I ought to be careful about the presentation that I have of my life to please God. I ought to watch what I'm doing to please God. That's what it's about, pleasing God with our lives. Unless your righteousness, for I say unto you that except your righteousness exceeds, it goes beyond it, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall now case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What can we draw from that? Can we draw from it that Jesus had laid a condemnation on the scribes and the Pharisees with that kind of a strict diligence towards God, and yet Jesus says, if that's as high as you get, you can't enter the kingdom. That seemed awfully high to those that are around it. But you know, we can put out great efforts and build the great cathedrals and great monuments, and we can do all of these things. And I want to tell you, I appreciate anybody that will testify for Christ. These crosses on the hill that the guy did, I'm for it. Hey, anything that reminds somebody of the Lord, I say go for it. If you want to put up a banner that says Jesus is Lord, go for it. I'm all about Jesus all the way. Get you a hat that says Jesus saves. Bumper stickers that says Jesus is the way. I'm for all of that. But I want to tell you right now, it won't save you. Don't allow it to become something that it's not. It's an off-spilling of a heart that wants to please God that does it. And if you ain't pleasing God in the quiet places of your life, there is nothing that's going to be successful about it anywhere else. This goes on to say, it says he shall not in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord help us. Another scripture. Oh, let's see. Matthew 15. It says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Listen. But in vain do they worship. You get that? They draw nigh me with their lips. They honor me with their mouth. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they do worship. In other words, vanity is emptiness. It's nothingness. Their worship brings no good to themselves, to their families, to their friends, and finds no honor or acceptance with God. But yet, they're diligent. Yet there's so much. And yet it says in vanity, in vain do they worship. I thought about that. It thought about years. You know how days turns to weeks and weeks, months, and after a while, years of I thought about, I won't embarrass Chandler, but I thought about Chandler's graduation yesterday. And Chandler's grew up. Some of us older people have a hard time with that sometimes because of the way time is. And we get stuck sometimes. We get stuck in these moments. And sometimes it'll happen with me and people will say something like, well, you know, so-and-so's getting married. And I'm like, well, who would marry them? And I'm thinking about them the way they were when they were 7 and 8 years old and forgot that they're 19 and 20 and all that foolishness that I see. And you kind of hang across us old people, we just don't see it the same thing sometimes and it just changes. And I thought about, you know, Chandler was probably 7 or 8 when I met him, and all of a sudden it dawns on me standing out there and he's graduating. I said, it really happened. I mean, Chandler's grown up, and the same thing happened to my children, and it happens, and things change, and you grow up, and you know, Lord help us in this life. There's only really one way to do this. It's God's way. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. God's way is best. In all the things of life, God's way is the way we want to pursue. We want to be acceptable in God's sight. In vain do they worship me. And I think about it sometimes, as I said that, I think about it sometimes as we go on and days turn in longer and longer, and after a while, and do you know that you can pursue a path and get to the end of the path and find out that you did it your way. That it never was something that God really had His approval on, that you inserted into the worship of God all the intelligent mind that you had and all the things that you thought ought to be, and you lived the way you ought to, and all the time the Spirit was trying to break through that and say, listen to me. I want to help you over that problem. I want you to be better than that. I want you to learn how to treat people. I want you to learn how to be a better witness. I want you to be accomplished. I want to work with you and help you in this. And over the years, you can let all the years pass by at the end of it. There's nothing helped anything. It's all been in vain. Wouldn't that be an awful testimony at the end of this life to get to the end of it and find out that your worship was vain? Well, you can't say it didn't happen, because it did in Jesus' words for the time. It did before that, and no doubt it has through all the Christian era of time. Do it my way. Do it. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. Listen, folks, any time that you get very, very desirous of something, would you just stop? Just stop. Even write it down if you have to. I want such and such. Because our wants, what builds our doctrines. Many times what we build as a part of our faith and belief is what we want to believe. When we want to believe it bad enough, we'll form some way of believing it. You better watch that thing, because in vain did they worship me. They put it, inserted into their own ideas and ways. They inserted into their own idea of what they should do. Jesus dealt with it itself. The Bible said to honor your mother and father, and they come along with the exception. You don't have to take care of them. You can, if you pay so much, you can do this. I don't mean to just get into religions, but the Catholic Church does it, but you can pay. You can actually literally pay money for your sins. No, you can't. You can repent before Jesus with all your heart and get Him forgiven, but you can't buy Him out. And once somebody leaves this world, you can pay all you want to. The Scriptures is clear. You can't pay Him out of there. But if you want to believe it enough, you can form doctrines by that or beliefs in it. Well, we ain't so prone to do that on an individual basis. But I'll tell you, on an individual basis, what we do, we'll make exceptions for behaviors within our own life. and in vain do we worship the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do those things, and in vain do we worship the Lord. Because the Lord's true desire is that our heart is saying, Lord, I want to please You. If this doesn't please You, I don't want to do it. One of my favorite scriptures, and my children know this because I've mentioned it so many times, but one of my favorite scriptures is the scripture where David's mighty men, the Philistines are, the garrison of the Philistines are in Bethlehem, and David and his men's outside of the city, and David's out there, and in my mind, scripture doesn't say all this, but it kind of seems this way, that it's an old, hot, dry time, and David's out there, and he mentions out loud, he says, how he longed for a drink of the well at Bethlehem. So three of these mighty men, in my mind, they had a fire in their eyes. Three men got together, and they took off down there, and in my mind, visualize it, they go down there, and all the Philistines is down there, and they draw close to that well, and they pull their swords out, and here they come, all three in unison, and said, we've only come for water. You can have it any way you want it, but we're getting water. Because our Lord wanted water. And they went, and they didn't say they fought for it. It went down there and got water. And they brought it back, and they gave it to David. Fresh water must have been cold, good. Fresh water out of the, you know what it's like, Brother Manson, when you get good and dry, good cold water. They probably had some water that had been in them old goat skins for a few days sloshing around in there to drink. It's water, but it's awful. Oh, here. And they bow down, in my mind, they bow down and said, Lord, here's your water. He didn't command them to do it. They loved Him. They loved Him. They wanted to please Him. They risked their life to worship Him. They worshiped Him. Listen, there's an analogy here. He said, I long. He didn't say, I command. He said, I long. And their hearts was, if He longs, I die getting it. Because I worship Him. I want to please Him. And when David understood it, the capacity of it, he said, I am not worthy to drink it. There's only one that's worthy of the devotion that these men gave. They didn't die there, but in a sense they did, because they was willing to die. They was willing to shed their blood for the one that they loved, that David took it and gave it a drink offering to the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy of this cool, fresh water. Men would die for me. I'm faulty. I've done things. I'm not worth this. But You are. And the devotion that those men gave David, his love for God, he gave that devotion back to the Lord. And he pours it a drink offering out onto the ground to the God. God didn't tell him to. He didn't tell his men to get the water. And God didn't tell him to pour the water out. He did it because they were in pursuit of something. And true worship is our pursuit to please God. Therefore, when we truly worship the Lord, you're a true worshiper of the Lord. You can do it at the post office, Walmart, on the banks of the Greenbrier. You can do it in the fields. You can do it in your home. You can do it everywhere in the pursuit that I please the one that died for me. You died for me, and I'm going to give you back everything that I've got. And I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to have to sacrifice my way. There's times that I would have said, Lord, You let me do this and I'll straighten it out. It's never the way.
The true way is all, and the Lord says, yeah, I'll let you straighten it out. Here's how you do it. Humble yourself. Huh? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If you'll humble yourself down, you do it the way God does it. You take my way. Lord, help us to take God's way. I want to end with Luke 18. And he's, his ninth verse says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Is despising others God's way? Jesus died for everybody. You know, you and I should never, I know there's a human quality of disgust sometimes about things. And it's always proper to hate ungodly, unrighteous, sinful things. We should hate it. There's never any place to despise others. You're only what you are by the grace of God. You're only what you are because God made you what you are. You didn't have nothing to do with it. And that's all that you can claim. We have no reason to despise others. But this says that certain ones that despise others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this ethnic publican. Listen to these credentials. I fast twice a week. Is that not good? Of course it's good. I give tithes of all I possess. That's good. And the publican standing afar off would not even lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now here was a man that prayed, that fasted twice a week. He gave tithes of all that he had. He prayed. He worked with people. I think the list would have went on and on. And the Lord wasn't at all fascinated by it. It didn't do nothing for him. You know why? Because the Pharisee was doing it his way. I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to do it in a way that everybody can look at me and see how good I am. I'm going to do this a way so everybody can look and see that I'm a mighty man of God. And I want people to look and say, this man sacrifices so much. He'll be there to do it. Good qualities. But Jesus come for more than that. He wants us to do it His way. It's the only way to do it. And fortunate for us, we can. He gave grace enough to do it. There is grace enough for us to do it. And He sent His Spirit, folks, to lead us and guide us into all truth. You lack anything? He can bring it to you. You lack an understanding about something? He can bring it to you. He knows how. That's why we can say assuredly, God's way is best. He knows what you need today. I can't do it my way. I can try to do it my way, and I'm going to fail. It's going to have to be God's way. And He's got this amazing ability to know just what time, when you need something. And we will always shun some of the things that the pains, the hurts, the afflictions, those kind of things. But can anybody in here say that you ever had an affliction that went sour on you and wasn't good? Did it ever really turn out bad? Christians always say, no! No! God worked that to my good. That God worked that out for me. He brought something to me every time. Every time. God's way is best. I'll shrink, sure. But God's way is best. Heart ceases struggling. humble yourself and follow the dictates of the Lord. The Spirit has come that you and I might be able to be led of His Spirit, not led of our own thinking. We're in an intelligent time. People are schooled, intelligent. They know that, but they're not any smarter. I say they're getting less smart. I want to tell you where I got, I want to tell you the most educated point of my life was the day I said yes to the Lord. I got smart. The day I done that, I started getting smart and I got smarter ever since. My education grew exponentially from the time that I gave myself to the Lord. Even in natural ways, I believe I just got smarter. Well, I know I wasn't smart before that because it was evident. But God, I'm going to tell you, the best thing for us to do is surrender ourselves. Don't take your own way. It'll hurt you. And there are times that the Lord said things that's hard on us to do. Like that kind of language is, it says that if somebody smite thee on the cheek, ain't the way my daddy taught me. Now, Dad always taught us, don't you cause trouble and don't you ever be the instigator of a fight. But if somebody's got to have one, you give it all. You show them how it's done. That's the way I was taught. And the Lord comes along saying that there's another way. I don't know everything, but I know enough to say this. God's way is best. We need to find that out. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.